Hi, I'm Matt, and I'm here today to chat with Chris all about foods that are rich in omega-3 fatty acids. Now, before we get started, let me introduce to you Chris, who is the co-founder of Vegetology. Chris, it's probably fair to say you are a self-proclaimed science geek, super knowledgeable on the role of all things like omega-3 and its effects on the human body, right? Would that be...
I'll take the geek bit. That's probably about right.
Okay, it's fair enough. He does know a lot about omega-3, and hence the reason today we are going to talk about foods that are rich in omega-3 fatty acids. So let's jump on in, Chris, shall we? We've got a lot to get through, I think, so we'll just jump on in there.
Okay.
Okay, so Chris, we hear a lot about omega-3, but what exactly is omega-3, and what does the name mean? Sounds cool, but...
It does sound cool, and... Sorry to start in a little bit of a boring way, but it's not quite as exciting as you might think. Oh. The omega in the name actually refers to the placement of double bonds on the fatty acid chain. Yes, I know. Where's the boring button?
Okay, so we're not talking about bonds like on Wall Street.
No, afraid not. These are double bonds in a fatty acid chain. So the number three, so the reason they're called omega-3 is purely because it's polyunsaturated fatty acids with a double bond at the third carbon atom. There you go. It gets as interesting as that.
Okay, so basically omega-3 came from a science geek, right?
Absolutely.
Somebody in a science lab said, let's call this omega-3.
Somebody got super excited, but of course, marketeers love it because it sounds amazing.
It does sound...
But they are amazing, great. Actually.
Yeah. Okay. Brilliant. Okay, well, so I can see where this is going to go, right? So why is omega-3 necessary? Let's maybe answer that question.
Okay, so omega-3s, they're known as essential fatty acids, and the name is no coincidence because they really are essential to our overall health, but particularly the eyes, brain, heart, health, they all require omega-3s.
Okay, so I have a question straight off the bat, right? You say essential fatty acids. Fatty and acid aren't words I would normally associate with health, right? So are fatty acids healthy? Do we need them?
Yes, we do. So the name's unfortunate because, yeah, you think fatty, you think acid. It doesn't sound sexy, but no, these are absolutely essential. So they are the building blocks of so much of our bodies.
Okay. Give me an example.
So we'll talk about different forms of omega-3, but for instance, one of the forms of omega-3 is the principal part of the brain's grey matter or the retina in our eyes. So in fact, it's 40% of our grey matter is made of omega-3.
Okay.
So yeah. Okay. So that kind of puts it into perspective.
Okay, so 40% of my brain is omega-3 and 40% of my retina is omega-3, is that right?
Yeah, more or less. So the grey matter in the brain and the retina.
Okay. So what does DHA mean and what does EPA mean?
Yeah, so this is where it gets really important. So there are three different types of omega-3, all of which have the same, fall into the same category, but they're really different. So we hear DHA, EPA and ALA. We'll start with DHA. Here's the boring button again. It's docosahexaenoic acid.
Okay. This, can you say like that three times fast?
Like red or yellow.
Yeah.
When I mentioned the grey matter, so it's DHA, which makes up 40% of the grey matter. So absolutely vital component of the brain and the retina. When we talk about EPA, that's eicosapentaenoic acid. And this stimulates powerful anti-inflammatory processes in the body. So that's its main role. And we then have a third form, which is called ALA, which is alpha-linolenic acid. And we'll talk about this a little bit later when we talk about foods with omega-3.
Sure.
But in short, this is an inactive form of omega-3, very commonly found, but it needs to be converted by the body to be effective.
Okay, so there are three different types of omega-3, DHA, EPA, and ALA, I'm not going to try and pronounce them. Okay, I'm going to stick with the initials. Two of which are essential. They're important. But the third type of omega-3 needs to be converted to the other two types.
Correct.
Have I got that?
Exactly right.
I nailed that.
Yes.
Okay, great. And so tell me about some of the benefits on the body then of omega-3 and some of the things it can do.
Well, it's almost a what doesn't it do? Where do we start? So omega-3s, they're vital for brain cell regeneration and generation in the first place. They're vital for cognitive function, behavior, attentiveness, just general development, reducing inflammation and inflammatory processes, which are linked to heart disease, for instance. They improve the mood. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of links to fighting the symptoms of depression, anxiety. Great for the joints, a little bit like WD-40 for the joints.
And we should probably explain, do people outside the UK know what WD-40 is, do you think?
Yeah, possibly not.
I have no idea. It's like a spray oil. It's a spray lubricant, which just solves every known problem to man, right?
I did once meet a guy who does spray WD-40 on his joints, as an aside. But, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, his joints are great.
We're not recommending that.
No, the skin is ruined. other than that, yeah, I mentioned joint care, but pregnancy, absolutely, omega-3s are vital for pregnancy and aiming to get pregnant all the way through, and even postnatal for, you know, breastfeeding.
Yeah. And in fact, we've done a podcast, haven't we, on the effects of omega-3 on pregnancy. So if you are pregnant or wanting to get pregnant, recommend listening to that one.
Definitely, because it's not just about the baby, it's about mum. It's keeping mum healthy. And with omega-3, it's in the news all of the time. So there are links at the moment, new research coming out linking to benefits to ADHD, to Alzheimer's, arthritis, just to name a few. A really important thing about omega-3 is the body can't make them. You have to get it from your diet. So that's why it's so important that you consider your diet and where you're going to get these from.
Okay, hence the reason we're talking about the foods today. So, well, I mean, that's a lot of benefits. And is it fair to say then that things like cognitive function, depression, ADHD, obviously, because your brain's 40% omega-3, you can automatically make a link there, can't you?
Yeah, absolutely. So the different forms have got very different processes. So I mentioned DHA is part of the building blocks. So, of course, you're reinforcing, regenerating with what could be lost or imbalanced. But EPA has got the links with the inflammatory processes. Mm. Reducing inflammation is vital to all sorts of ailments, to the brain, the heart, the whole body, really.
So when we say reducing inflammation, what does that mean to a non-sciencey person?
So inflammation could be anything from what happens when you get sunburn through to real heart diseases, so inflamed arteries or nerve endings in the brain. So those processes cause all kinds of problems, okay. And omega-3s are linked with calming those down and letting the body or parts of the body behave normally.
Wow. Okay. Okay, I'm sold on the benefits. And you mentioned that the body cannot make omega-3. The human body doesn't make omega-3. We have to bring it into the body from our diet. So what sort of foods should we be looking at that are rich in omega-3?
The most common is fish. Okay. It's probably the most famous as well. So oily fish in particular, salmon, sardines, mackerel, krill, other crustaceans, that kind of thing. It is found in plants, so you can get it from nuts and seed oils, but again, as I mentioned earlier, it's not in the right form. It's in ALA, so the body needs to convert that.
Okay,
into
so
the, right
the
form.
Omega-3 from fish, is that in the right form?
It is. So in fish, it says DHA and EPA, okay. So the body can absorb and use it right away.
So oily fish is good, but the omega-3 found in nut seed, like flaxseed, we're going to talk about that in a little bit, is ALA,
correct.
And needs to be converted. Okay. So we've got fish, we've got nuts and seeds. Is there anything else?
Supplements. So a lot of people don't eat a lot of fish, and there are many reasons for that, as we'll come on to. But yeah, fish oil supplements are very popular, or algal oil supplements, for instance, very popular.
So they're the three basic options. You either eat fish, you eat the flax seeds, which is maybe not an option, we'll find out later on, or you take some kind of supplement.
Correct.
Okay, yeah. Cool. So let's talk about fish then. Now, is there a recommended amount of fish that we should eat each week?
So obviously this differs all over the world, but here in the UK, the government recommend that we eat two portions of fish a week. Now, if it was just down to omega-3, the recommendation would eat fish every day, all day, every day. Of course, the downside is fish are very good at capturing other things like mercury and toxins and heavy metals, so that's the reason the NHS here, and I guess most equivalents around the world, say eat fish but at a limit, because yes, okay. We want you to get omega-3, but we don't want you going crazy from mercury poisoning.
And that's quite important, actually, because I've mentioned this before, I had the impression that actually fish was just perfectly good food and you should eat shed loads of it, but actually what you're saying is the UK government and governments around the world are saying actually limit it.
Absolutely, yeah. And I mentioned mercury, so you can even have fish that swim and grow in the purest of waters in terms of, you know, actual pollution, but mercury levels can still be naturally very high and dangerous in
so
fish.
So why is mercury bad for me?
It's a poison, effectively, okay. Over a certain level. So it's mercury and other toxins, heavy metals, they just affect the balance in the body, and yet they can ultimately poison you.
Okay, so are there any types of... So we're going to limit our fish, right? And but are there specific types of fish we should eat if we're focusing on the omega-3 side of things?
Yeah, oily fish in particular is always the best. So salmon, sardines, mackerel, they're really good. Tuna can be good. It's probably not as good as, I guess, eating sardines or mackerel.
Okay.
But tuna's more readily used, I guess, in our diets.
And does it need to be fresh, or can I, like, buy canned tuna or canned sardines or canned mackerels?
You can, as long as it's a pretty decent quality and it's been stored correctly. You know when fish has gone off, of course. It's it gives you a rather good scent to tell you.
You know.
And one of the things about omega-3s is that they are not stable, so they will go off like the clappers. So, yeah, keep it fresh.
Sorry, I need to interrupt. Go off like the clappers is a very... British phrase, meaning it will go off really quickly. So you were saying that the omega-3 goes off pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, when it's in the forms of DHA and EPA, the forms our body needs, yeah, very unstable. Again, we can probably come and talk a little bit more about that later.
Yeah, okay. So if we're going to eat fish, then the fresher the fish, the better from an omega-3 point of view.
Definitely.
Okay.
But again, with fish, and we always recommend anybody takes advice, I think particularly if you're pregnant, when we hear about omega-3, if you're eating a lot more fish, please do talk to your doctor and please let them know what kind of fish and how regularly, because, as I say, you'll get plenty of omega-3, but there could be other things that could do more harm than good.
And we would just recommend that across the board, right? Before making any dietary changes, please consult your physician,
absolutely.
Is our disclaimer. Okay, so... I mean, I like fish. I used to work in a fish and chip shop when I was a teenager. A little known fact about Matt. Yeah. And used to have fish and chips on a regular basis. Maybe not the healthiest form of having my fish. But I have to be honest, not everybody in my family is a fish lover. And so you mentioned other foods that can help us with omega-3. So let's talk about those. Let's talk about the nuts and seeds thing.
Okay, so for, I guess, quite a few generations now, it's been very popular for vegans and vegetarians to take flaxseed or chia or nuts, hemp seed, walnut, that kind of thing as a source of omega-3. And, you know, if you go into a health store around the world, you see these types of seeds promoting high omega-3, high this. The truth is, they are not good sources of omega-3. Okay, they do contain ALA, which is an omega-3, but as I mentioned earlier, that's not the right form for the body. So the body needs to convert that ALA into DHA and EPA. But here's the problem. That conversion rate is tiny. So
how tiny?
We're talking about 1% conversion for DHA and a maximum of 5% for EPA.
So if I ate 100 grams, just so my brain works this out, if I ate 100 grams of omega-3 from seeds, which is obviously a lot of seeds, right? But let's assume I did. 1 gram of that would then, up to 1 gram would be converted to...
To DHA.
To DHA. And up to 5 grams of that would be converted to
EPA.
EPA. So that leaves up to 94%. What happens to that?
That's just, it's just used, metabolized, used it for energy. So there's nothing wrong with it. Flax and those kind of things, they're very good. They're full of protein. It would just be used as a source of energy.
Okay, so it's healthy in its own right, but it's just... It's not a great source of the actual omega-3 you need.
Absolutely. I mean, if I took a step back, if I looked at that purely as a dietary source, it's almost useless as a source of bioavailable omega-3.
Hang on. You said bioavailable.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Sorry, bioavailable. when I mentioned that the correct forms for the body, so DHA and EPA can be absorbed, they're used right away, no conversion, they are bioavailable. That's what that means. So, or bioactive, I guess you could call it. But because ALA needs that conversion, it's inactive until the body does something. But even when I mentioned that 5% conversion to EPA or 1% to DHA, that's not guaranteed. That's in a healthy person, that's an average. That could be a lot lower. It could be zero. Some people think it. Some scientists think it is zero at times. So from a, you mentioned 100 grams of flax, that could be the equivalent of having to eat a month's worth of flax for a day's worth of fish, for instance, to get the same. It's but as I say, flax, those kind of things, that they're really good for you.
Yeah.
Just not particularly for omega-3.
So we're saying that flax and those nuts and seeds, obviously eat them, they are great for you, but they're just not a great source of the omega-3 that your body needs.
Correct.
But they do contain a form of omega-3, hence the reason people can say these are sources of omega-3.
Exactly right. So my recommendation to anybody looking to find a vegan or vegetarian or plant source of omega-3 is check it says EPA and or DHA. If it doesn't, if it only mentions ALA, then please bear in mind that conversion and what you're actually going to get.
Okay, from the omega-3 is not going to be great. Okay, so if we've said that fish is a great source, my kids aren't big fish eaters, and you know, obviously there are certain people with dietary issues that aren't going to eat fish. Nuts and seeds are great, but they're not a good source of omega-3. That leaves me with the third and final option of supplements, right? So is that what vegans and vegetarians would use to get omega-3 in their diet? Is that what I should use with my kids?
Yes, definitely. So most vegan societies and vegetarian societies, they strongly recommend supplementing. And the reason is we can get EPA and DHA from algae. AKA seaweed. Algae, it's actually microalgae, so a very, very tiny part of it. And here's the thinking behind it, or the fact behind it. Fish don't naturally contain omega-3. They get it from their diet of algae.
It's a bit like humans. We don't naturally have it. We have to get it.
Correct. Yeah. Okay. So when we eat oily fish, the big oily fish, the mackerel, have probably eaten a tiny fish. The tiny fish has eaten a load of algae. Okay. And therefore, up the food chain goes the EPA and DHA. So it's now possible to get the omega-3, the EPA and DHA, direct from that algae into supplements. So it's absolutely perfect for those that don't want to eat fish or have ethical reasons for not wanting to eat fish. So vegans, vegetarians, to get real omega-3 in the correct forms.
And so actually what you're saying is the source of omega-3 for everybody is the algae. It's just that some people are going to, that algae goes into fish and then it goes into humans. But what you're saying is actually there's a supplement where you can just go get it straight from the source and just bring it straight to your human body without going through the fish.
Exactly. So we can cut out the middleman or the middle fish.
Yeah, brilliant. And that's algae-based omega-3 oil. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah. So what actually literally happens is the algae is grown. So it's not actually taken from the sea. It's grown in closed environments, a little bit like brewing beer.
Okay.
And the oil within that algae is extracted away, and that's already rich in the omega-3. So that oil goes straight into a capsule, so it's protected from the elements. So it's really the purest form. It's like eating fish without the problems of mercury and overfishing and all the rest of it.
So you've not got all those issues you need to think about with an algae-based omega supplement.
Correct.
Now, would you have those issues to think about then if you had a fish oil-based supplement?
So with fish oil, there are issues of what gets carried through into the supplement. So unlike the algae, when the algae is grown in a completely closed environment, you don't have to worry about what is in the seawater that the fish is living in, swimming in. You know, what has that fish absorbed? What else is carrying through into that supplement? So in the past, there have been fish oil supplements taken off the shelves of stores because they are high in mercury and other things. So yeah, there's no doubt if purity and non-fish is what somebody's looking for, algal omega-3 supplements, by far the best option.
And you mentioned earlier that omega-3 in fish goes off pretty quick. Is that true for the algae? Does that go off pretty quick?
It does. So it's really important that when that oil is extracted from the algae, it goes straight into the capsules or the whatever format the brand is giving you to take it in. So that's why normally a supplement is in a soft gelatin or vegetarian alternative capsule.
Okay.
It protects it from the outside world, effectively.
Great. And again, it's worth noting here, we have done another podcast where we talk about nutritional supplements for vegans and vegetarians. So if this is of interest to you and you would like to know more about omega-3 being a vegan and a vegetarian, then do check out that podcast. It was super, super interesting and super helpful. Okay, so let's just summarize, Chris. I think that's been super helpful. Omega-3 is found in fish in the forms of EPA and DHA, which are the two forms of omega-3 that we need. Whilst omega-3 is found in many plant sources, such as flax, nuts, some vegetables, it's in the form of ALA, which is, you called it inactive, right?
Correct.
Inactive, I don't know, I'm just making this up. It's not bioavailable. And the problem being conversion by the body into EPA and DHA is both low and not guaranteed, right? So just bear that in mind. It's very important, I mean, super, super important to include in your diet omega-3 because, I mean, the start of the show, we talked about the amazing health benefits, especially for your brain and your eyes and your joints. And I mean, just, you know, it's like the superfood, isn't it? Do take it. It's great and healthy. And if you don't eat fish or can't eat fish, or if you're like my kids, just won't eat fish, or you're a vegan or vegetarian, the answer is to supplement with an algal omega-3. That way you can obtain omega-3 in the correct forms of EPA and DHA direct from the source, which is fantastic. And if you're unsure about whether you're getting enough omega-3 through your diet, you can take supplements. Is that right?
Correct, yeah.
And so let me just close with this one final question. Can you take too much omega-3? Is that something that we need to be aware of?
No. So because it's always been linked to fish traditionally, that's why there's always been a limit.
Mm.
So the governments will say, look, get it from fish, but don't eat too much because of the other things in there. But if you're taking it from a pure source, from an algal source, then in many ways, yeah, the more the better.
Okay.
Obviously, always take advice from your doctor. There may be an upper limit. We need to be careful to check you're not getting way too much because we don't know the impact. It's probably never really been tested.
Okay.
But no, certainly the kind of levels that we'd get, the more the merrier.
Okay. So, I mean, if you're unsure and you supplement with an algal omega-3, and you just follow the notes on the, you know, the recommended daily doses on that packaging, you're not going to take weight too much, are you? I mean, you're safe, so that's cool. Okay. So, Chris, if people want to connect with you or find out more, are you on Twitter?
I am indeed.
Do you tweet?
Occasionally. Not as much as I maybe should, but...
Okay. Well, I think that's everybody's comment, isn't it? So how do people find you on Twitter?
So my Twitter handle, is that what the...
I think that, yeah.
Used to say, it's a chemist... _Chris.
Okay, so if you want to follow Chris on Twitter or get in touch with him, just go to chemist_Chris and you'll see him on Twitter. And if you would like to know more about omega-3, Chris and the guys have prepared something called the Ultimate Guide to Omega-3, and that is a free download which is available from the website vegetology.com. So be sure to head on over to the website and download that guide, because it will contain all this amazing information about omega-3. It will really help you to get your head around it, what's good, what's not good, and so on and so forth. And that guide, like I said, is on the website at vegetology.com. So make sure you download it. Okay, thanks, Chris. Enjoyed that one. Looking forward to the next show.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, we'll see you soon.